The appeal of Seattle's boulevards and parks was genteel, something I suppose we now are reduced to calling upper middle class. An imitation, not of Europe, or of Washington, D.C., or of Central Park in New York, or of Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, but of the parks of St. Paul and St. Louis and Cincinnati. As it happened in those cities, the new rich needed some ways of establishing themselves or making themselves feel established. Travel and education could and did help. But in that respect, Seattle could never expect to be anything different from any other city. What the parks, however, as opposed to travel or education, could and did do, was something in their way unique. They simultaneously offered ways and means for rather refined retirement and a sense of living that could seem better than living anywhere else in the country. That these parks were somehow more natural, less manufactured, more open, without ever being really wild, and civilized without ever really being urban. And that was something that no other American city had or had in anything like the abundance that Seattle had it. And furthermore, Seattle had it, we must remember, within 60 years of its founding. These parks were and are wonderfully adapted to the landscape. Seattle is, and almost inevitably must be, a city with hundreds of vistas, and in no need ever to concentrate on just one or two. And the park and boulevard system that we associate with the Olmsteads offers a sense that in natural riches, Seattle is almost inexhaustible.